Chapter 85. Vi and 300 of the fittest war magi made it through the eastern fork of the pass an hour before dawn. Sadly, fittest wasn't the same as most talented. The journey had taken longer than anyone had expected, ushering 8,000 women, most of them middle-aged and every single one more than willing to share her opinion, through the mountains had been a nightmare. Most of the rest would arrive sometime during the day, but a sizable number wouldn't arrive until the next day, or the day after that. Even with bodies that appeared decades younger than their years, 80 and 90-year-olds were simply not going to hurry. Vi thought that if she never saw another woman in her life, she'd count herself lucky. After some bickering with sentries that had ended when Vi lifted both men off the ground with her talent and shook them, Vi was brought directly to King Gyre. He was among his men, reassuring them with his presence, and as Vi approached, he was cinching the leathers of a young horseman's pauldrons. Vi cleared her throat, and Logan turned. Vi had heard of Logan Gyre, of course, but seeing him was altogether different. He was perhaps the tallest man she'd ever seen, and perfectly proportioned. In his white enameled plate armor, gilded with a gerfalcon, with wingtips breaking a circle, he was the perfect picture of an energetic young king at war. He was muscular, his carriage erect, and though he walked with the knowledge that eyes were on him, he didn't seem to revel in it. There was also something odd about his right forearm. It seemed brighter than the other, somehow. "My lady," he said, nodding. "Is there something I can do for you?" She stopped staring. "I'm Vi Sovari of the Chantry. I bring 300 magi and 7,000 more by tomorrow. We have come to help you."
"Thank you. I dare say we will have need of healers, but so many—"
"Your Majesty, we are war magi."
"War magi?"
The king's eyes widened. "We have withdrawn from the accords that we may help you." He scrubbed a hand through his blonde hair.
"This changes things.
They may have 2,000 meisters, 200 verdmeisters among them. We have 10 magi."
"How can you help me?"
2,000? Vi despaired. "If they bring 2,000 meisters against us before the rest of my sisters arrive, we'll be worm food in an hour. I may have drawn off half of them. How long could you and your 300 hold out against 1,000? "We might make it, and some of the sisters should arrive during the day. My war magi are mostly good at defensive magic, Your Majesty."
"Good. Then I want half of you to hold Black Bridge and the dam. Spread the others out through the lines."
A messenger trotted up, and Logan held up a finger, forestalling the man.
"Oh, and thank you, sister. Your aid is desperately needed and greatly appreciated. I hope to speak more with you this evening."
"You're welcome, and, Your Majesty, I know you were a friend of Kylar's. He'll be here." Logan got a strange look on his face.
"Yes," he said. "I'm sure he shall."
Vi was stationed with 150 of her sisters at Black Bridge, almost in the shadow of the Great Dam, when she realized what that look meant. Logan thought Vi meant Kylar would be here in spirit. Logan still thought Kylar was dead. Stupid, Vi, stupid. Logan and Garawashi were astride their mounts in the Great Market as the first rays of dawn revealed the God King's armies arrayed across from their own.
"They fell for it," he said.
"They must have sent 15,000 men to Regukas. Last night they had 6,000 more men than we did. Now they have 10,000 less." Lantano Garawashi grinned.
"Only two things can undo us now,"
magic, and young men so drunk on glory they forget their discipline," Garawashi said. "So when do we attack?" Logan asked.
"Right now."
It was still dark in the royal tent. Dorian ran a hand over Janine's bare shoulder, down her back, and over her hip. Her beauty made him ache. He shouldn't have brought her here. It was too dangerous in too many ways. She wasn't asleep, but she feigned it for him. She knew how he enjoyed her. He inhaled the scent of her hair once more and sat up. He began dressing. "That army is Cenarion," Janine said in the darkness. "Those are my people."
"Yes,"
Dorian said. "How do I find myself in my enemy's camp, my lord?"
"Have you ever wondered what would happen if someone threw a war and nobody came?"
"What do you mean?"
"I have no intention of killing any Cenarians," Dorian said, "though I understand why they won't believe that. We're here only to destroy Nef and Moboru. At dawn, our emissaries will let the Cenarians know that we will not attack. But I don't think we have to worry about them. They've already taken a defensive position, as we have. They'll stay until they see us withdraw, and then they'll go home."
Janine stood, and Dorian couldn't help but glory in her beauty. The familiar, panic-edged desire swept over him. He wanted to grab her and make love frantically, right now, as if he might never have a chance to again. But it was almost dawn. There were things he needed to do. "My people are aggrieved at your father's predations, and that savage Lantano Garawashi is with them. They say he bathes in blood. What will we do if they attack?"
"I will be our emissary," Janine said. "They will believe me."
"No," Dorian said.
"Why not?"
"It's dangerous.
They will not attack a woman approaching under a flag of parley. Besides, better a hazard to me than to 40,000 lives."
"It's not that," Dorian said, thinking frantically.
"Your presence might precipitate war, my love. What will Terra Grayson do, even under a flag of parley, if she sees you alive? Your life would be the death of all her power. People will do horrible things to keep what they love, Janine." The fact was, if he sent Janine to Logan, the threat of Cenarian attack would end in 1 second. And so would his marriage. Unless... what if Janine chose him? She'd barely known Logan. What Dorian had built with her was... real?
"It's built on a lie. Oh, Solon, what would you say if you could see me now?"
"You're right, my lord husband. I just wish there were something I could do." Dorian kissed her.
"Don't worry. It's going to be fine."
He stepped through the tent flap and saw a young man sweating, obviously bearing a message for him, and obviously too afraid to wake a god king.
"What is it?" Wan Hope demanded.
"Your Holiness, the war chief wishes me to tell you that the attack on Regukas was a ruse. Our spies were wrong. The Cenarians outnumber us by more than 10,000 now, and... Your Holiness, they're attacking!"